Well, Father, I thank you for those who came out tonight. We love this heat, Father. Thank you for it. Just pour down your fire right now, Father God. Just engulf us with it, Lord. And Father God, we thank you for the holy angels that are walking to and fro throughout these chairs to minister to your people. And Father, we just thank you that there are those who couldn't make it here tonight because of the weather that's coming. But Father God, in their homes, you can bless them. You can send your angelic host into their homes to minister to them, Father. And we're believing that you're doing that tonight. And Father God, we're asking that your angelic host be in here tonight and to minister to your people. And Father God, in ways they've never been ministered to before. And Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, with that prophetic word, you can be ready for the impossibles to start happening. I'm telling you. They're really getting ready to happen. Those things that we've been asking God for are finally going to come to pass. She sort of has a testimony, sort of. She said she got it today, so. Well, go ahead, let her give her testimony. It's a miracle. It's Carolyn.
Okay, my testimony, it means a whole lot to me, a whole lot to me. It seems like one of the littlest, minutest things to another person, but as Pastor Barbara knows, about 14 years ago, I was in a very, very, very serious car accident after being delivered out of the occult. I had given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil tried to take my life. I couldn't do it. Praise God. But I ended up with a plate like this, big, and 12 screws in my foot, and had a, I guess you would call it like a bit of a disability, and had a certain mentality because of that. And one of the biggest fears I had, which is stupid, but to me it was cutting the lawn. I know it sounds dumb, but I was terrified. I used to cut the lawn all my life when I was a kid, growing up, and it was like one of my favorite things to do. I love the smell of grass, and I love the exercise and everything. And years and years and years and years and years of bondage. And finally, when I got here, I'm renting a property, and I'm like, I'm not going to pay $1,000 a year in a contract to have somebody cut the lawn. I'm going to do it. And I kept praying and praying, and I'm like, Lord, I really want to step out. And I heard the Lord say, overcomer, overcomer. If you look in the book of Revelations, it says those who overcome. So what did I have to overcome? I had to overcome a mentality that I had a handicap. A mentality that I had to give into fear, a mentality that I had to give into something that happened in the past, because since I've been here for 3 weeks, the theme I keep hearing is you need to let go of the past and step into what God has for you. So I kept praying and praying, and yesterday I stepped out. I bought a little lawnmower. Today we got it out of the box. We prayed, and I was like, God, please, I don't know how to put this thing together. So I put it together. And then we did the oil, which I had no clue how to do, putting in the gas, and then finally pulled it, still wouldn't start. Then she goes, why don't you try using the choke? I'm like, duh. So I finally used the choke. I started this thing, and I'm telling you, I started cutting the grass, and I kid you not, I heard the Lord say, I am restoring you to your youth, like the way you were before this happened. And he says, you are an overcomer. And he says, that's what you need to teach people, is to be overcomers. So that's my testimony. I thank and I praise Jesus for that.
That isn't the testimony I heard earlier. I heard earlier that you about got hit by a tractor trailer.
Oh, that was you. Oh, my God. Are you over here playing
that? One more.
Okay. But this one just happened today.
I know. That's when I was thought you were going to tell.
Okay. Testimony number two. Actually, there's been a lot of testimonies here. Can I give the organ one really quick?
No,
okay,
no.
Okay. All right, the tractor trailer one. Okay, so a few days ago, I went to go see my cousin, and when I was driving on 295, I was like, I drove into a deep, dark death tunnel. And I'm like, Lord, what is this on this road? And I kept actually driving by all of these accidents. And so I'm coming off into the freeway, and these two huge tractor trailers come and start coming into my lane. So I slam on the brakes, and I'm like, this guy can't see me. Well, then I look in my rearview mirror. I kid you not, I did not see the truck behind me coming. I literally saw his grill right in the back of my car. How he did not hit me was only by the grace of God. Because, and then I floored it to go forward, and then when I looked behind, all of the traffic was stopped behind me. So I thank God, because, I mean, I'm telling you, I was like inches away from getting hit by this guy. So I praise God for that too. So
I'll let her give the organ one too, because it's good too, and then that's it.
Okay, testimony. I started playing the organ when I was 5 and a half. By the time I was about 11 or 12, I was stupendous, excellent, amazing.
Okay? Listen to Listen to this. Now okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So what happened was, when I was 11 or 12, I heard a very strange sound coming from my bedroom. So I got up from the organ, I went into my bedroom, and I don't say this against my mom because I love her, she's in heaven right now. But I say, this is what the demons were doing. They used my mother and my father, and they were like beating my brother almost, it looked to me like to death. And I was absolutely terrified when I walked in that room. And I literally thought I was going to die. And I got down on my knees before my mother, and I begged her not to kill me. Because the rage that was coming out of her and the thing that she had in her hand and how they were restraining my brother, just beating him mercilessly. And I thought that was going to be me. So I begged her not to. And I remember just asking God, please spare my life. And so with her eyes as raged as a vulturous demon, she says, you get out of here and don't ever beg for your life again. And I walked out. And as I was going back to the organ, I said, I will never, ever touch the organ again. Never. And it was the other day, like you guys know, that we're here, me and another girl, and anybody who's welcome, we're here at 10 o'clock every morning. Now we're actually backing it up to about 9. We're here praying in tongues and stuff. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, go to that organ. And I'm like, oh, no, Lord, I'm not going to that. There's no way. And he said, sit down on that organ, you're going to start playing. And I sat down, and I was like, I can't remember anything from a kid, God. I can't remember. And he said, I gave you a C chord. This is how you play. And I started playing in the spirit. I was playing for like 45 minutes. And when I was playing in the spirit, I noticed it was the same kind of anointing when I sing in the spirit. And Gwen, all of a sudden, gets set free. She starts dancing and moving and worshiping the Lord for that whole time. And the Lord said, from once you were a little kid, I called you to do worship, but you walked away from it when you were a little girl because you were afraid. He said, today, I call you to go back. So guess what's right down the street from me, a music store. This Tuesday at 3:30, I start my first music lesson.
They were all three worth hearing, right? And it should encourage each one of you that God can do something fantastic. Brother Brett, do you want to share your vision that you saw? You know, God said he was going to give you people a vision as you went down this morning as you're laying there. And I knew he gave Brett one because I saw the glory cloud go down with him.
Oh, wow. Amen. Well, what I saw when I was laying out on the floor was I was in this. It was like
can
a room.
Can y'all hear him?
No.
Up him a little bit or
yeah.
Do something.
Thank you. I saw a large room where there was like a table. Like a large dining table, probably the length of the sanctuary. And there was all kinds of large glasses and plates that looked really nice. And I knew God was sitting at the other end of the table because there was this white light everywhere in the room. But it was focused on a chair. And I remember sitting down at the table, and everywhere around us, it was like we were in a bubble. And there was just fire everywhere. It was a bubble of fire. The walls, the ceiling, the floor, it was just a secret room, like a ball of fire that you were sitting in at the Lord's table. And so I forget what he told me I was going to see, but whatever that is, that's what that place looks like. The glory realm, that's what it was. So that's what I saw.
And, you know, God's been saying that whenever the glory hits in its fullness, we will carry the fire. So that's what God was showing him. It was fantastic, you know, what God did this morning. I wouldn't miss any service myself. I just don't know what God's going to do, amen? And we just don't know what service is going to be the glory drop, do we? And I definitely want to be in that one. I can't believe that Brother Chris and Sister Catherine getting married and going on a honeymoon just as the glory is supposed to be dropping. I mean, you know, come on. I said, you can always go on a honeymoon later on down the road, collect somewhere. They're calling it a moon because they're taking their kids with them. But, well, their children, not kids. But they're going to go anyhow. They don't care. So whenever I'm believing the glory is going to drop while they're going. And then we're going to email and say, you missed it. You missed it. You know? No, I'm just joking. Amen. Well, I'm so glad you're all here tonight. And I'm especially glad that you had such three wonderful testimonies and that you saw your vision. And I'm just glad that we're all just rejoicing in God and knowing that He is in full control and He is bringing to pass all of our promises. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about positioning yourself. We are in a season of great acceleration, and so much is happening that we need to be fully aware and fully awake to recognize and partner properly with this glory season. We need to be fully aware and fully awake to recognize and partner properly with this glory season. What is happening now could be likened to the 1970s and the Jesus People movement. During that season of acceleration and revival, when so many were saved, the rain fell on the wheat and the tares. And just as the church rapidly grew and the good news spread, many cults and false teachings were also spawned. And isn't that what's going on right now? Just as I got saved and born again in 1977, and I got right into that anointing that was going around. So how do we prepare for such a season? The Word of God is our anchor, and with it, the Holy Spirit will guide us through this glory time. The Word of God is our anchor. In other words, read your Word. And with it, the Holy Spirit will guide us through this glory time. We need to read whole books of the Bible all the way through, not just the verses that we know and like. And how many of us do that? We just, I know that verse, and we go and read that verse, and we don't read anything else about it. The book of Jude was written when the rapidly growing Christian church was dealing with a lot of distractions, false teaching, divisive words, complaining, and more. Let me read that again. The book of Jude in your Bible was written when the rapidly growing Christian church was dealing with a lot of distractions, false teaching, divisive words, and complaining, and more. And that's what we're dealing with right now. Jude said in verse 1:20-21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your..." Now listen, this is what we're supposed to be doing right now. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." And how many can say right now that Satan is trying to steal your love? You're really battling with your love walk. And you look at yourself and say, "I can't believe I'm even thinking this way or even acting this way." See, and Jude said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." These are the very same keys that will keep us on the right course. You just need to read Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, and just get that burned into your spirit, man. Read the whole chapter. And just get that burned in your spirit, man, so that you are not taken off course. What does it mean to keep yourself in the love of God? It certainly can't mean that His love is still undecided about you, so you'd better not lose it. God's love doesn't change toward you. It doesn't matter what you do. It is intense and powerful. Regardless of what you've done or how you feel about Him, about God, He still loves you just the same. I wish you would get that down in your spirit instead of listening to what the devil says. It doesn't matter what you do. God still loves you. If He didn't love you, how come He walks the corridors of hell every single solitary day weeping over you because you're in hell, not in heaven? He loves you. But once you get down there, it's too late. He loves you completely. He always has and He always will. There is nothing like God told me the other night, "Daughter, I've loved you when you were a mess." He said, "I just never have stopped loving you. I've loved you in your bad times and in your good times. I just love you." And He said, "You're going to have to get used to the fact that I just love you no matter what you do." You know? So I want everybody in here to get that in your spirit, that God loves you no matter what you do. You aren't going to go out there and deliberately sin. What I do is I get sort of upset and and go on a rampage every now and then with my family because they're so messed up. And I know better than to do that. It doesn't accomplish anything except maybe raise the blood pressure, right? So if I just walk away from it and let God handle it, he'll work it all out. That's why he told me that, because I was upset because I lost it, all right? He loves you completely. He always has and he always will. There is nothing any of us can do to earn it or to forfeit it. So to keep yourself, to hear what I said, there is nothing any of us can do to earn his love or to forfeit his love. So to keep yourself in his love can't mean to maintain his love and make sure you don't lose it. No, Jude is talking about positioning yourself to receive God's love, to experience it at a practical level. You know, quit trying to make the word complicated. It, like God said the other day, I meant what I wrote, and I'm not going to change it. Man tries to rewrite the Bible and tries to change it, but God meant what he said, and he's not changing. Luke 22, 31 through 32 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I wrote that, Dinner, because we need to understand there was a war going on for your attention. It said, and the Lord said to Simon, Simon, indeed, this is Peter, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Then Jesus himself says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Then he says, and when you have returned to me, in other words, his faith was going to fail him. He says, strengthen your brethren. So if one of us has, you know, failed God and God's brought us back, or we got back somehow or rather, then we need to strengthen our brethren and tell them, you know, you can do it. You know, God's in control and God does love you. It doesn't matter what you've done. There is a war going on for your attention. God wants to see your face. He wants to see your eyes gazing at him, to lift your countenance, to make you shine, to fill you up with love so you can give his love to the unlovely of this world. Read that again, Nancy. God wants to see your face, to see your eyes gazing in him, to lift your countenance, to make you shine, to fill you up with love so you can give his love to the unlovely of this world. He wants you to be completely absorbed in him so you can come into union with him and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, loving and forgiving and being a catalyst for signs and wonders. He wants you to be completely absorbed in him. He comes first in your life. Everything else is second place. Why? So you can come into union with him and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you aren't absorbed with Christ, then you're not going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to be one with Jesus. You just have to be one with the Godhead. You have to be, in order to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, loving and forgiving and being a catalyst for signs and wonders. If you find yourself having a hard time forgiving others and loving, then you need to get back into your unionship with God, because somehow or other you slipped out of unionship and you're in a mess now, because now you're in Satan's territory. And you need to repent and get back into your place with rightful place with God and stay there. And right now, isn't it very hard to stay there? Doesn't the devil come at you with everything he has right now? And he's trying to pull you out of the love walk. He's trying to pull you out of the will of the Father. And I mean, he just comes at you constantly. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know about you, but even when I wake in the middle of the night, he's at me. Boom, 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 boom. You know, we've got to be an overcomer. What did God say tonight? You're in the victory circle. Stay there. Is that what he said? Don't go outside the victory circle. So that's what we have to do. We have to stay in the victory circle. We have to say to yourself, or say to Satan, say to somebody, I'm not going nowhere. You are. I'm staying in the palm of God's hands, where I'm protected and I'm covered. Remember, we studied Psalm 91 this morning. Awesome. Awesome. God, it will protect us at all times. When you overflow with God's love, miracles begin to happen all around you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It says, when you overflow with God's love, miracles begin to happen all around you. Somebody who got delivered in here said that the Spirit had said, okay, they had already delivered this other person, but then they were delivering somebody else. And when Brett walked into the room, I think this is how it went, the Spirit said, I hate you, or we hate you, or something like that. But then after a while, Sister Nancy came down and they said, we really hate her. And the first person that was delivered told me the reason why they hate her, because, you know, they had demons in them too, is because of her love. Her love drives them out. And, you know, I thought that, I mean, I know that, but to hear a demon say that, you know, it's awesome to know that if you stay in the love walk of God, that is one thing that destroys the yoke. Amen. So, Nancy, if he's trying to get your love walk, no, it's because you're tearing up the enemy's camp and he doesn't like it. So he's after you with everything he has to get your love walk away from you. All right, when you overflow with his love, miracles begin to happen all around you. But the enemy is always trying to distract you and redirect your focus to all kinds of hassles and problems. Isn't that the truth? He wants to fill your mind and heart with disturbing thoughts and feelings, and I've been going through that battle this week. He wants to fill your mind and heart with disturbing thoughts and feelings. He wants to get your attention and turn your face toward anything or anyone else but God. So whenever you feel like you're being distracted, say, uh-uh, devil, I know your little tactics. I'm not going to take my eyes off of God. I'm going to keep my eyes on God, and you can just go take a scoot. Amen? He wants to see you frown, you know, the devil does. He wants to see you frown, get discouraged, and approach life with fear, which is the opposite of faith. Not only will this keep you from experiencing intimacy with God, it will also keep you from doing the works of heaven. If you start walking in fear, get out of your faith and start walking in fear. So to keep yourself in the love of God is to deliberately position yourself where you can keep your focus on God and receive the love he wants to show you. Let's read that again. So to keep yourself in the love of God is to deliberately position yourself where you can keep your focus on God and receive the love he wants to show you. You might have to go take a walk. Get away from the situation that's right before your eyes that Satan's trying to use to get you out of the love walk. You know, you might have to do something. You are going to have to do something, deliberately do something to get out of the face of Satan to keep yourself, I always say, to keep your sanity, because he really tries to drive you crazy, doesn't he? Let's take another look at Peter. He was adamant about serving God, but look what Satan did to him. In Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to God, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. See what Satan did to this great man of faith? Put fear in him because he didn't want to die with Jesus. So he just denied knowing Jesus. Some of you are just like Peter. I know early on in my born-again experience, you know, God was using me with great signs, wonders, and miracles, and things were, you know, bad things were happening, and I went, you know, said, Father, you know, what's this all about? And that's whenever I found out that scripture was even in the Word. He told me that Satan was desired to sift me as he had asked me, desired to sift me as wheat. And you'll go through those siftings many times in your walk with God, you really will. Because the devil, if he sees you making a headway, he's going to come to make you go back three steps. What you have to do is determine your heart, I'm not going backwards at all, devil. I'm on a swing, and I'm going to stay there. I'm going to keep going forward, and I'm going to destroy your camp everywhere I go. He's not going to let you do that without a fight. So when you say that, you better mean it, because if you don't, he's going to take you on a trip you don't want to go on. Amen? I've told you a story about how he came to me, and, you know, I was God sent me with somebody, or he sent me with my first husband up to his job site. He said, you have to go with him tonight. And I said, I don't want to go. I was in college. I said, I have my college work to do. I really don't want to go. He said, you've got to go. You have to go. And then he gave me a vision. He gave me a vision of this African woman standing there, and she was lusting after my husband. And we get up there. Sure enough, there stood this woman at the doorway. And she looked at me like she could purely hate me. She said, I'll kill you, as I walked by her. Well, let me go back. What God showed me was this woman standing there, and then she was running after him, but then he turned into a serpent, and chasing, he was a beautiful man, that's how it was. Then he turned into a serpent, and then he stood up as a man again, Satan did, and God put a wall between me and him. He was chasing me, Satan was, and I had my husband in front of me. God said, don't let him look back. So I was pushing him, said, don't look back. But I was looking back to see where Satan was at. And whenever God put the glass between me and Satan, Satan said, I'll kill you. And I said, oh, no, you won't. I laughed. I hysterically laughed. I said, you can't touch me. My father keeps me safe. And I went on about my business. Well, guess what? He didn't kill me. But he did everything but. And God told me, now the devil, Satan himself is coming after you. And he's going to do everything to you, turn you every which way but loose. But it's all finished, you'll be standing on your feet worshiping me. And that's exactly how it happened. So I do have respect for the devil. I no longer laugh at him. I'm very serious about what I say to him. And when I make sure that what I say, I mean, and I back it up. Because I know he does have power and authority only if God allows him to have it. And God told me that he had come and asked for me, and so he let him have me to prove to him that he couldn't take me out. But I'll tell you what. There was many times through that hassle that he was putting me through that I said, dear Lord, I just didn't die. Let's keep going down this road. But God had told me beforehand, you will not die. You will stand and face me and praising me. Amen. So I'm telling you, Satan is a handsome man, in case you don't know it. He's not some ugly guy. You know, they have this sort of twisted, don't they? They picture Jesus as some big handsome man. And the Bible says he wasn't even handsome. He wasn't even nice to look at. And, you know, then they picture Satan as some ugly old thing. And he really is a handsome spirit. He's handsome. And he has long flowing blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, don't be concerned about what people are saying about what's going on in the Bible. Get yourself in the spirit realm, and God will show you things and explain things to you so that when man comes with their distorted version of the Bible, you'll know the truth right up front. Come on. I'd be scared to death to sit in here. No, I wouldn't want to be sitting in here and trust everything I said. I'd want to know what the Word said. I've been in too many churches believing what the pastor said, and found out when I went home and read it, it wasn't even what it said. He didn't even tell what it said. He twisted it. So I always made sure I read the Word. I knew what the Word was saying. How many of you still don't know what the Word is saying totally? You've been studying the Word. Don't be afraid you don't say you don't know. You know, you've been studying the Word, but you still don't understand something. I can't remember what it is, but there's something that I'm seeking God about because I don't quite understand it. And, you know, God will explain it to me one day, and I'm just reading and researching until one day he just shows me the truth of it. I can't remember what it is, but I have it written down at home. Too many people sit around so prideful, they're so afraid they don't know something. Somebody walked up here to me one the other day and said, a couple weeks ago, how come you wear pants to preach? Where in the Bible say it's all right for you to wear pants? And I said, I don't know where in the Bible tells that, but you go back there and you ask Brother Chris Gore, he can tell you, he knows right where it's at. So I sent him sick to my Brother Chris and Brother. I wasn't even going to justify that. Amen. I'm not up here in bikini anyhow, or you wouldn't want to see that. Amen. Come on. At least I'm covered. Do you know some dresses that pastors wear in behind the pulpit, they should not wear? They're so enticing and revealing. Come on. Who cares to look at your body? I want to hear about Jesus, don't you? Come on. Well, how did I get on that roll? That's where we at. And we are no different than Peter, and we really do have to be very deliberate about it because the distractions can be very persistent and intense. Time is the new money. And in this world of email, Facebook, Twitter, and mobile phones, it is easily spent. You know, and oh, here comes my baby. He misses his mom. Come on, sweetie. Come on. Come on. You want Brother Chris, huh? I was hoping he would stay up there because he doesn't like to be away. Alone time. You know, as I was reading this, reading some different things this week. How many of you realize that since you've had a computer, you spend a lot of time on your computer, not that much time on your Word anymore? You know, a lot of people are distracted. They get on there to read what other people are saying. And, you know, God told me, don't worry about what other people are saying. He said, you just be concerned about what I'm saying to you. But that really, if you allowed it to, it'd really take an awful lot of your time. And that's time you could be spending with a father. Alone time with him. We need time alone with God to drink in his love and allow him to restore our soul more than we need anything else. I'm sorry, reading about the Bible on the computer is not alone time with God. It just isn't. You need to really have true alone time with him so he can restore your soul more and get you to a place in him of complete and total intimacy. We need much more than just one focused time alone with God a day. His love is our life source, and we want to live overflowing with his love. If somebody say, well, I prayed before I got to bed, and well, I prayed when I get into bed, and you're in between and don't do anything. But we need to be praying constantly, especially in these dark times that we're in. Faith works by love, and God is love. So it is in his love that we are to live and move and have our being. If you read 1 Corinthians, I think it is 13, it says that if you can have all the gifts, but if you don't have love, you're nothing, absolutely nothing. So faith works by love, and God is love, and so it is in his love that we are to live and move and have our being. To do that, we must learn to drink deeply, deliberately, and continuously from the river of his pleasure that flows with love for us. You know, I just say, God, I'm just going to sit here and just drink till I can't drink no more. I mean, really, have you ever gotten to days you just need to do that? You just need to sit in the presence of God and just sit there and just drink in his presence, because you need that to survive. You know, you've come to a place in that valley where you just don't know if you're going to survive or not. Just let him go, Chris. He'll be all right. And so we just need to sit. When we get to that place, we just need to sit in the presence of the Father. We just need to refresh ourselves in him and just allow him to do the things in you that needs to be done. Because you can't revive yourself. I'm going to tell you that right now. Where am I at? I lost my place. So I said, all right, I know. And we need more than just a sip, because God wants us to thrive and not just survive. How many of you know there's people in the body of Christ are just, they're just surviving? They're not thriving in anything. They're not getting anything from God. Nothing is being accomplished in their life. You know, we need to thrive. We need to be so full of God and so on fire for God that no matter where we go, we are a vessel that God can work through. We have the privilege of being infused with supernatural strength and joy, so drink deeply. You know, just drink deeply of his love. Just sit and say, God, just pour your love into me. You know, sometimes, you know, people say, well, that's selfish. No, it's not. God knows we get empty. He knows we give out and give out and give out, and we get empty. And he wants us to come into his presence and say, God, just fill me once again. Just hold me tight in your arms and just, you know, just let me feel your presence just for a little bit, just so I can get up from here and go on and continue the journey you placed me on. So if you think that you don't need that from God, but then think again, because you do. As Jude's instruction implies, there's a link between praying in the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up in faith, and keeping ourselves in the love of God. As we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit enlarges our capacity to receive love and strengthens us so we can supernaturally comprehend it. Now, I've shared with you before, I don't really pray in the Spirit very much. So I just sit in God's presence. I just do that. And, you know, and he just starts moving on me, and he just, yeah, I can feel him, you know, and he comes in the room and such, and praying in the Spirit really is what you should be doing, but for some reason or other, I can't do that the way you all can. I mean, I do that at times, but I don't beat myself up over that, because I have just as much fun just sitting in the presence of God, you know, and just having him just, you know, just show himself strong on my behalf. And I can feel his love. I feel his arms around about me. And I feel his presence in the room when I'm sitting. And sometimes when I'm out in my study, he just comes into my study and I can't even hardly think, because his presence is so strong in there. You know, especially whenever he's giving me the word for the day or speaking to me personally. It's just like he came into the room and sat down beside me and is sitting there speaking to me personally. It's that the anointing is that strong. I'm trying to say, don't let people put you in a box. You know, you do what God's anointed you to do. You do what you do best. You know, what Sister Carol Ann did, Reverend Carol Ann did Wednesday night, I could no more do that than the moon could. Well, the moon might be able to do it, but I couldn't. See, I can't say to you, come on, you know, you have the gift. The gift is dropping. I can't do that. And I think it's because, like Carol Ann and her lawnmower experience, when I was first born again, they smacked me on the head and rubbed me and spit in my face and said, bah, 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 and say, boo, 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 and now you got the spirit. No, I didn't have nothing but spit in my face and somebody messing my hair up, amen? And so I always said I would never do that, and I haven't. And I said, God, if you want to fill the people with your spirit, you're going to have to do it all on your own because please don't use me to do that. As Jude's instructions implies, there's a link between praying in the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up in faith, and keeping ourselves in the love of God. As we pray in the Holy Spirit enlarges our capacity to receive love and strengthens us so we can supernaturally comprehend it. I read that again because you really need to get that down in your spirit. He prays through us with power, cutting through clouds of confusion that the enemy tries to blind us with. As we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit prays through us and for us about things that are not naturally seen, going before us and making our path straight. Now, I'm going to share this. I have found out that if I'm praying for somebody, all of a sudden I'll go into praying in the Spirit because I really don't know how to pray for this situation. And I'll say, God, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. He knows exactly what's going on. So please take over, let him take over, let him pray through me. And I'll start praying in the Spirit, you know, just like y'all did Wednesday night. And, you know, and then great things happen. See, we try to pray, we think we know everything. So we start praying, oh, God, you know, this man does this and that man does that, you know. And that's a bunch of babble. You know, that's when you need to pray in the Spirit more earnestly than ever because you really don't know what's going on, but God's told you to pray, and you don't know why you have to pray what you have to pray for. Like I said, I was kept awake all night last night praying for my grandson, and I said to him, was you all right? And he said, I was fine, but he really wasn't because God showed me he was in danger. But he wasn't going to tell me that. But see, God knew it, and he had me pray for him most of the night. As we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit prays through us and for us about things that are not naturally seen, going before us and making our faith, our path straight. All right, Romans 8, 26 through 31. So do y'all have that together now? You praying in the Spirit is the best way to go, all right? But if you're hindered in that area, you know, don't be concerned about it. Don't think you lost your salvation. Just go ahead and pray. And God's in control, and he'll take care of everything. Romans 8, 26 through 31. Don't you know that the enemy comes at me and says, oh, you can't even pray in tongues. Yes, I can, you fool. Get out of here. And I'm not going to start praying in tongues just to prove to him I can. You know, we've done deliverance, and a demon prayed in tongues. You know, and this thing is, if they can't say Jesus is Lord or something like that, then that's a demon. That's a lie. They say all kind of things. You know, the devil's not dumb. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Do you see that? For whom he foreknew, that's you and I, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, God made us in his image so he could use us as vessels of honor and place us here on earth with assignments to do for him. We aren't down here just so we can have a jolly good time, just so we can have 10 husbands and 2 wives, or just so we can have a big house full of furniture. We are here on assignment from heaven. We came from heaven. We're here on assignment to do our works for the Father. We've gone over that and over that, and we've studied it, and I preached it, and now the other prophets are preaching the very same thing. The preachers are preaching the very same thing. See, they finally got a hold of the fact that we were in heaven at one time. We just weren't out there in the ozone zone somewhere, and we're placed in our mother's womb. God placed us in our mother's womb. But we also have found out that Satan places children in the mother's womb too. And whenever Brother Chris Gore teaches, that's what he's going to teach on, that your children can be born demon-possessed. And he's backed up with the word. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. You were predestined, so therefore you were called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And you are, so you were in heaven. You were predestined. You were placed in your mother's womb by God. Before you came, replaced your mother's womb by God, though, you and God had a conversation. And he said, this is a situation I have on earth, and I want to know if you'll go down there and if you'll do this work for me. Then you said yes, to your dismay. And then God placed you in your mother's womb. Now, from the time he placed you in the womb until he finally gets to use you, there's a whole lot of stuff happens in between. Satan will take you because he knows what God's going to do with you, and he doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do, because if he does, you're tearing down his kingdom. So he'll get you on all kind of side roads. Are you listening here? He'll take you on all kind of side roads, and then whenever you realize God wants to use you, then he brings all that guilt complex in there. Well, don't let him have that little ride with you either. God knew every side road you were going to take. He really did. He knew you weren't going to jump out of the womb and start working for him. You know, he knew that you were going to get messed up every now and then. But he also knew that when the time came, you would do what was right. I said to God, I think I was 50 when I got born again. I said, how come I wasted all my life? He said, no, you didn't. This is the time you were born for, right now. This is the season I'm going to use you in. So even you didn't waste any time, so don't get all upset about that. God knew the perfect time to place you on the scene, using you for his glory. All right? Matthew 6:7-8, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. How many of you, you know, when I was first born again and I started going to spirit-filled churches, you know, people couldn't even talk to you. All they wanted to do was quote scripture. And I felt very uncomfortable about that. So I said, God, what is this? Why can't they talk English? Why do they always have to quote scripture to me? He said, watch the fruit. And every time I inspected that fruit, it was rotten fruit. They were not God's children. And they were using the word, that the religious spirit using the word, he finally got in his seat. He's fine. And, you know, they were using that word to deceive you. So don't worry about people who all they want to do is quote scriptures to you. Check out there's fruit. Amen. If you don't know the Bible, I tell the people, I say, I don't know where that's at, but I'll find it for you and we'll give it to you. How many of you, well, probably a lot of you have memorized the Bible, but I couldn't even memorize anything. Even though I won all the spelling bees, I was spelling champion, I cannot memorize anything. I can't. I can for a little bit, but boop, there it goes. So I don't even profess to have memorized the Bible. I don't profess to know where everything's at. I have to look it up. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm still a child of the Most High God. I'm still anointed by God. That doesn't take my anointing away, my position away with God. And you know what? If you'll read the word, it's in here. And at the right moment, God will reach down in there and pull it out. And you'll be quoting scriptures and not even know where it came from. So that's why you should read the word, to get it down inside. So that when God needs to, he'll pull it up and he'll use it. All right, we read, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He knows what we need to pray about and helps us in our weaknesses with perfect intercession. He unfolds mysteries to us. Revelation is downloaded into our hearts, and the gifts are stirred up. It is time to be praying in the Spirit, fellowshipping with God in his word, and seeking his face. That way, we'll be ready for this next wave of glory. Now, God has me doing some teaching on this because the glory is about ready to hit. And he wants you to be ready. He doesn't want you to be caught off guard in any area of your life. And he really wants, been really dealing with us about intimacy and oneness with him for quite a while now. And I hope that we have gotten it for the prophetic word that he gave tonight. It sounded like we got it, didn't it? And so, you know, I'm excited now what God's going to do, because he said when the glory hits, he said the doors are going to bust wide open and he's just going to start sending in the lost, and he needs us prepared to minister to them. So it's time that you, I'm hearing God says, it's time you get on the glory train. It's time that you go with the glory train and don't want to get off. Stay on the glory train, whatever you do, whatever comes your way, don't worry about it. God is in control. He's not, after all, I am your father. I do love you. And I trust you, even though you don't trust me all the time. I trust you to carry out the plans and the purposes that I have for your life, because we spoke about it and you agreed. Now, there's times that you disagreed after you got here, but we worked that out too. And so I know that you're going to do the things that I'm calling you for, that I've called you for to do. And now is a season to draw closer to me than ever before. Now is definitely not the season to back up in any way, shape, or form. You're on the road, stay on the road, and just keep going forward. For I'm your Father, and I'm walking ahead of you. I'm preparing the path before you. My angelic host is behind you. They are your rear guard, and I am keeping you safe from the evil one, and I will fight your battles for you if you will just allow me to. Amen. Remember last night he told me, daughter, you're laboring, and you're laboring in vain. He said, I've called you to get into my perfect rest. He said, if you'll just do that, I will take care of the situations around about you, and you won't have to be concerned about anything, because I want you to stay in my rest. So that being in his rest means you're going to quit laboring about the things that's going on around about you. You're going to quit worrying about them, and you're just going to let God have full and total complete control. Now, God's word is yes and amen. Is yours? When you tell God something, is it yes and amen, or is it a maybe? Yeah, you know, God just threw that in there, so I thought I'd tell you what he just said. Well, he wants to turn that maybe into yes and amen. He wants to, and this is what he's saying, he wants to, when you say something to him, it's final. You will do exactly what you say you're going to do, and you will not change in midstream. And he's saying, too many of you have been changing in midstream. You've made a covenant with me, but you went down the road and saw something better. So you got out of that covenant. You tried to get out of the covenant, but you're not out of the covenant because I haven't broken it yet. So get back in the covenant you made with me and go on with me and accomplish the things I've asked you to accomplish. Amen. I'm hearing God say, my storage house is full. I have all that you have need of in my storage house. Why don't you start asking? And ask liberally. Don't be afraid. I know what you have need of, and I would like to give you an overflow of what you have need of. Man is a liar, but I am not a liar. I said it, and I mean it. My storage houses, rooms are full, and I want you to ask so I can give into your bosom at this given time. And he's saying that money doesn't matter to him. He doesn't care how much you ask for. He knows what you have need of. Just ask, and ask liberally. For I'm ready to pour you out those blessings that you cannot contain. I'm ready to give into your bosom like you've never even thought of me giving into your bosom. I want you to maintain the truth of my word. I want you to walk steadfast in what I've told you that I was going to do in your life. I want you to quit doubting what I'm going to do in your life. I want you to quit wavering at every little wind and doctrine that comes your way. I want you to know that you know that you know tonight that I meant it and I'm going to accomplish it. Yes, a lot of things have gotten in your way, and yes, a lot of things have made you waver, but you still stood when others wouldn't stand. You still kept saying, yes, Lord, yes, here I am, use me. So my sons and my daughters, I am ready now to restore to you all that the canker and the pump worm has stolen. And I am ready to pour out a blessing upon you that you will not be able to stand. I promise you, the way that blessing is going to bring you to your knees, But when you're on your knees, you'll be rejoicing and you will be laughing and you will be praising. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for what you've done here tonight. All right, God, and I want you to run to me tonight. I want you to run into my bosom tonight. And as you run into my bosom, I'm going to wrap my arms around about you. And I'm going to place you in that secret place in my bosom. That secret place of the Most High where the enemy can no longer touch you. I want you to come quickly to my cross tonight. I want you to come quickly and allow me to pour out an anointing that will break and destroy every yoke of doubt and unbelief that Satan keeps trying to infiltrate into your brain. I want to give you brand new waves in your mind. Those waves in your mind are scattered and they're broken, and I want to restore them to normal. So a brand new mindset is what I want to give you tonight. So if you need a brand new mindset because the enemy has gotten in there and unraveled the one I gave you before, come on up into my presence and I will give you a brand new mindset.